Hello, this is Maureen Knight introducing Romy Randall as part of the Telling Tales project at Horsey Manor. Today is the 15th of March 2015, and I'm going to start off by asking Romy if she'd like to tell me a bit about her early years, just so we get to know her a little bit before she starts telling us her memories of Horsey. Over to you, Romy.
Thank you, Maureen. I was born in Dorset, born in Weymouth, and almost immediately the family moved to Portland, where my father worked in the Borstal. He was a teacher, and was then offered a headship in Maiden Newton, and we moved out there when I was six.
Okay. Was there any music in your early years that you can remember?
No, neither of my parents was musical. I think my father could probably just about pick out a tune with one finger on the piano. We had a piano in the house.
So where has your love of music and folk things come from?
Now my love of music, I think I've always had a love of music of all different types. But growing up as a teenager in a village in the middle of Dorset, in the early 1960s, where I had no transport, I was reliant on my parents to go anywhere. And by the time I got to 16 and was looking to have some form of social life, most things were barred. It was quite a restricted upbringing in a way. Nothing was deemed safe to go to. But when I mentioned a folk club, I think they thought folk clubs, little did they know, but they thought folk clubs were very good, safe places. And yes, I could go to Dorchester Folk Club.
Okay, and at some stage you got involved with Horsey Manor.
I did. That came a little later because having gone to Dorchester Folk Club a few times, I then ended up going to, as my last year of education before teacher training college, I went to Yeovil Tech. And there I met a very good friend, Megan. And Megan introduced me really to Yeovil Folk Song Club, where I knew the Yetis played, and we could go there on Friday nights, I think it was. And through that, Megan, I think, had already been to Horsey for a season, for a summer holiday job, and said to me the next year, why don't you come? They're always looking for staff. So in 1966, I came as well and was part of the staff for 6 weeks during the summer. I think there were eight of us, young girls.
Can you remember how you felt when you first came here? Because it's quite different from other places.
It was very different. I think I was very excited to start with, because again, it was another big adventure for me. It was coming away from home, working away from home. I believe, because of course we lived in, we had our board and lodgings. I believe we got paid something like £4 a week. Everything was just good fun. There were eight of us, we were all in it together, and we did everything. We did
What sort of jobs did you do?
Oh, I think we were up quite early in the mornings, because the first thing we had to do was prepare people's breakfast. And I'd never heard of muesli before. And Liz was the cook and explained how we made muesli. We had to come into the kitchen, get our porridge in the bowl and put in our dried fruit, our fresh fruit, and well, lo and behold, there was this wonderful meal called muesli.
Oh, wow.
So that was quite exciting. Then we served at table. Then we had to pop off very quickly and whiz round the bedrooms and make the beds and make sure everything was tidy and tickety-boo. I don't think there were any lunches in those days. I think it was only breakfast and evening meal, but that may be wrong. So we had some time off in the middle of the day. Okay. And when it was sunny, of course, we sat out on the lawn.
I'm sure. What did you help with preparing the food? Was that done by somebody
else? I don't recall actually helping to prepare, apart from breakfast. Okay. I don't remember that we were helping with food. We were certainly waiting on tables. And I think cleaning was the other job we had to do. So I think that was what kept us occupied.
And were you staying in a dormitory?
No, our rooms were what is now the office.
Oh,
along that corridor. There were two of us to a room, not a very big room. But yes, we had, I don't know if there were two or three rooms along there where we girls were.
The noises that you can hear in the background are the evening meal being prepared at Halsey. I'm just going to move around a bit to put my body between the noises and the speaker, which I think might well help. You must have noticed some changes about the building.
Yes. After that summer, which it was a fascinating summer, and I do have a tale or two I could tell about what we got up to that summer.
That would be fun if you prepared to share that.
Right. Well, before I move on to coming back in more recent times... The guardians, if you like, of Halsey at the time were Donald and Marjorie Hunt, who were the most lovely couple, but quite firm with us girls. We probably needed somebody to be quite firm, because I think our average age was about 18 or 19. They had a son who came and went, and occasionally I remember one occasion I think he showed us up to a reservoir, and those that wished to have a swim could have a swim. We had the most wonderful morning, I remember, where we all decided to get up and go up on top of the Quantocks and watch the sunrise.
Oh, wow.
Which still lives with me. It was magical. And the other thing that I remember very clearly is two or three of us decided to take a slightly unofficial day off because it was Sidmouth Folk Festival, which was irresistible. So we managed to hitch our way into Sidmouth, spend the day in Sidmouth. I believe we spent the night there as well, watched everything going on, took part in a few things, walking around the streets the next morning before we thought we really should get back because we knew we'd be in trouble, and walked straight into Bill Rutter, who, of course, was very instrumental in setting up Halsey, who knew us both and just stopped and looked at us and said, "And what are you doing here?" Which was, it was bad.
And what was your answer?
I think we just said we had a bit of time off and really just wanted to see what went on at Sidmouth. They were very kind to us. I think we had to report to Donald and Marjorie when we came back and probably got a very good ticking off.
Because for people who don't know, it's probably about, an hour and a half from here to Sidmouth?
I really can't remember.
It's quite a distance. So to hitchhike down there, that would be quite remarkable.
It probably wasn't a very advisable thing to do, but at 18, it was just what you did. And much safer, I think, than these days.
Mm. Did you join in with the music making here when you were here working?
I really don't think we did. I don't think we were expected to in those days. I don't recall really taking much part in what happened. I think we were observers, but I really don't remember. I think possibly one or two weekends, actually, the Yetis came down and either performed or came down as a social visit, and we had a sing around and did things like that. But that might just be my memory, but I cannot remember.
Right. Oh, that's helpful. That's really interesting. And have you continued your love of folk since your days on the staff here?
My love of folk has never diminished.
Wow.
However, I went to Guernsey. Within a few weeks, I met a Guernseyman who subsequently we married. We've been married for 42 or 3 years now. And he was never interested, really, in folk music. So for a very long time, I gave it up, apart from records and communication. Always kept in touch with the Yetis, because just sort of flashing back to my days in Dorset and going to the Yeovil Folk Song Club, because my teenage years were quite restricted, in the sense of what my parents would allow me to do, I had to be home on a train that left Yeovil at 9:30. which meant coming out of the club in the interval. And actually, the club had only just got going then. Mm. And it's amazing how many times that train was early. Mm. And by the time I got to the station, sadly, the train had gone.
Oh, dear.
My very, very dear friends, the Yetis, took me home on more than one occasion, several occasions, a 13-mile drive to take me home so I could spend the rest of the evening in Yeovil.
That's lovely of them. And you started coming back to Horsey fairly recently?
About 10 years ago. I think probably it struck me that I was getting older. If I wanted to do the things that I really had always wanted to do but had put on one side, I had to get on with it. So I mentioned to my husband that these Yeti weekends were taking place annually. Would he be interested in coming? And he actually said, yes. He said, I'll come. I can't pretend he really enjoyed it. He came a couple of times. And he came on another occasion when he didn't take part in the activities. So he went off and drove around the area. But he's never since then stopped me coming. So I've been able to come back and have just a weekend of a folk world for me. It's been lovely.
I guess you've seen some changes here and some changes with the people as well.
Many changes. Even where we're sitting now in the Marden Room, I look around and see that the library has spread and is taking over this room.
It's taken over another room as well.
Yes.
Because we have now so much archive, there's nowhere else to put it. With the new building, that should be solved.
Yes, wonderful. And I see these.
So what was in this room when plans?
I can't actually remember. There might have been a billiard table in here. But I really can't remember what happened in this room. I remember that the kitchen has changed.
Where was the kitchen when you worked here?
The kitchen, I think, was still in the same place, but there's a wall gone up since we were here last. It was a bigger area. You came straight into the kitchen, as far as I remember. And obviously, the whole equipment in there has changed. I think this room was used. It was probably actually used as a staff dining room. When I think about it, I think this is where we ate. This is where we came.
On the great plan, it's to become a dining room again.
Right.
The new kitchen is built in the bank behind.
Yes. So lovely. So which will leave the long room free for activities without all the table shifting and things. Brilliant. That would be lovely. But yes, it's changed. Another change, quite a funny change, is that because these days everything has to be signed, emergency exits and lighting. In our day, when we were here in the 60s, and you were in the lounge, which now has a bar, of course, which didn't have a bar in those days, you couldn't see that there was a door in the wall. It was a secret door.
Oh, into the library.
Into the library.
Door into the library, yeah.
And, of course, there's a double door into the library. So ordinary guests that were staying here had no idea. Well, of course, again, 18-year-olds being silly, playing games. It was quite fun sometimes just to stand behind the door and possibly open the door a little bit and close it again. And we were a bit naughty, but it all added to the spirit of things.
Yes. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us before we finish the interview?
The only thing I can say is that anybody that has ever thought they might like to go to Horsey, but, oh, I'm not really sure what it's all about, or I'm not really sure if it's for me, is just to say, come, because you will enjoy it. It is the friendliest place. It is the happiest place. Anybody can join in or not join in if they just want to sit and listen. And my belief is if you've been once, you'll come back again.
That's lovely. Thank you so much on behalf of the Telling Tales story for telling us about your days here. When you worked here for a short while.
Thank you.
Romy, is there a song you'd like to sing for us?
I have a song that actually came about a few years ago because